I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Off the ball, GAA.
We just need to keep pushing forward, and the games that we have lost, we've only lost very narrowly by a point or 2 points in the last couple of years, and we just need to stick with it because we have been so close.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Settle in on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Guinness 00, proud partner of Croke Park Stadium and proud partner of the GAA.
Now, Settle In on Off the Ball is brought to you by Guinness 00, proud sponsors of Croke Park Stadium and proud partners of the GAA. Delighted to be joined today by Franz Sauerland. Franz, how are you?
Very good, thank you very much.
We were having a quick chat about your Ungaeltacht celebrations and whether they were finally coming to an end or not.
Yeah, we've had some year of it now in some few weeks, I suppose, since the All-Ireland. They're slowly dying down. The flags are still up though, so it's still enjoyable.
Yeah, I've done my best to kind of emulate the Ungaeltacht jersey and the jumper here just to show a little bit of support and solidarity.
Yeah, done a very good job now, in fairness now, I have to give it to you.
I suppose before we kick into the unbelievable year that 2025 and I suppose 2026 then was to the Gaeltacht, I'd love to come back and find out how Ungaeltacht was this place for your mother's from Ghana, your father's from Germany, how they landed on that kind of patch in West Kerry.
Yeah, it's crazy. I still can't figure it out, to be honest. I'm delighted they did, but my dad used to be on business now in Ghana, so that's how they met. And actually before they met, he'd actually bought the property that he still lives in today. And it was just like, if you see the property, even pictures of it, it's an amazing place. Like, it's just kind of off the cliffs there, below the Three Sisters down in Ballyfurter and Smarwick. And it's like, it's an amazing spot. So I can see how he fell in love with it. And he managed to drag my mother over then from Ghana when they met. So I suppose that's what brought them together, because he bought the place at an auction, like, so he got it quite cheap, I'd say. And he kind of built it up from the ground. So I'm delighted they did that.
He'd seen it hiking, was it, beforehand? He'd seen the property a good few years ago.
He'd seen it, yeah. And it was some priest or reverend or something that used to live there, and he passed away and he had no one to give it to, I suppose. So that's why it went up on auction. And yeah, he spotted it and he fell in love with the place. Now it was broken down completely, so he had to build it up. He was lucky. He was kind of a carpenter, I suppose, so he was able to do a lot of it himself.
He bring over like some of the wood from Ghana as well,
yeah,
and everything. There's a real mix of cultures going on already
in that
house.
He brought loads of wood from Ghana, yeah. Because it was a wood company he had over in Ghana. So it went hand in hand. It worked out perfectly for him.
And how did they find it, your parents arriving in a Gaeltacht area with no Irish?
Yeah, I don't know if my parents even knew that it was a Gaeltacht area. Do you know that way? It was just, they were moving to Ireland, like, especially for my mother, being black, like, it was a massive change for her. Like, she was even in the paper and stuff when she came over, because she was obviously the first Ghanaian, like,
go away,
in Ballyfurter. Yeah, so it was a huge thing even for the people living there. Like, we still have that paper at home. We have a good laugh about it, in fairness. I'd say it was a massive culture shock to them.
Yeah, because I suppose not only are you moving into a new country in Ireland, you're taking on that culture, but the culture in the Gaeltacht is a completely separate entity then as itself, isn't it? So it must have been a real mix growing up in your house with all of those cultures coming together.
Huge, yeah. Like myself and my brother, we started in Aninra, obviously, in Ballyfurter. He was born in Ghana, but at least I was born here, so I had that over him, I'd say. But yeah, we were brought into the Nianra, and it was all in Irish, like, you know, and obviously we went home and that was a completely different language to my parents, because we would have had German and English in the house, because my dad's English isn't great, so he'd speak German to us. Still to this day, I know he'd only speak German to us. But yeah, it was a massive shock to them, like, and I suppose it's great for us then, like, because we were young starting out, and learning languages at that age is a lot easier than learning it at this age. Like, so obviously they struggled and we took to like ducks to water.
Yeah, you're going home reading the report cards to them, just saying like, oh, I'm doing fantastic, lads. Yeah, you don't need to worry about me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the way.
And you take up football like the age of 6, does it mean?
6, I think I went to my first training. Yeah, I just heard a few of my friends talking about it. And, you know, I asked my parents, could I go? So they dropped me back. to Galaris, and I haven't stopped playing ever since. No, I took one or two years out there to go travelling, but besides that, I've played every single year. Yeah, and I've loved it.
Were there any other sports that might have been on the horizon for you for a while?
Yeah, I played soccer from, I'd say, 15 to about 21 or 2. I played for two different clubs down there. Like Dingle Bay Rovers is the main club, but they didn't have my age group underage, so I went playing for Camp United, which would be 30 or 40 minutes away. But I found that of more of a social thing than commitment kind of a thing. But I don't know, I committed to it all right fully for a couple of years there, and I really enjoyed it, but it came to a stage where my body couldn't handle two sports anymore, so I had to pick one over the other.
And you know, when you move into an area like Ballyferriter, it's so small. Do you think that made it easier for your parents, and you mentioned your mother especially, to kind of merge in with the community rather than coming into like a bigger city where there's no way there would have been an article written if she moved to Dublin.
True, yeah. You could look at it two ways. Like, it could be a lot easier. It was a lot easier for them, in fairness, because everyone was so nice around there, but like, you could have gone to a place where everyone was so kept to themselves, like, too. So they were lucky in that sense, yeah. But obviously, if they went to a city now, it would have been like they still would have been nobody, I'd say, like, you know, that way. But we were very lucky that it was a small place and everyone was so nice and welcoming, like, so yeah, my mother found it easy to kind of transition, I'd say. Yeah.
And yeah, you go to secondary school then in the public school of Kirkcaldrina.
Yeah,
very well known sporting school. Is that where you kind of started to kick on in terms of, I'm good at football here, this is a bit of a status?
She's definitely, yeah. Like, watching all the kind of age groups or the years above me winning all the Kearney Vries and even two Hogan Cups back to back there, like, I was first and second year, third year kind of when they were winning them, and I knew it was our time to come, our year, like, and it was the first time that you kind of get to play with the other clubs, like, with Dingle and Enniskill, Lisbowl.
What's the rivalry like then when you come together to play with school? Does it take a little bit of a while to kind of break down the barriers?
Yeah, and well, in fairness, but when you're younger, the rivalry isn't really there. Like, you know, you're all friends. Yeah. And so, like, you're actually delighted because they have excellent players. Obviously, we had a few excellent players, so they come together and we make a great team. So we got along very well. And we still do get along very well now, in fairness. But, like, it's great to have the rivalry there too. It'll be more so there now this year since we're a senior club as well, so we'll see how that goes. But no, it's like, off the pitch, we're all very friendly with each other. Like, we still go out together at night, and, you know, and it's great that the two cups, like, all the cups came back to Dingle and took, like, because I don't know, it's never happened before, and I don't think it'll ever happen again.
Yeah, and you had Eamon Fitzmaurice as, was he a teacher and principal during your time there?
Well, he became principal the year I left, so he was just teacher for me. I actually never had him as a teacher because I never did history, but. No, I had him as a manager, and he was some inspiration for me. Like, he made me captain 5th and 6th year, which was a massive honour for him. And like, he was Kerry manager at the time as well, so he was obviously dealing with the big boys, so he knew what it took to be captain and to be like a leader. Like, so that was massive, massive honour coming from him. And we had two very successful years there when I was in 5th and 6th year. Like, 5th year, I was always young for my year, so I was still under 16s and a half, and we won the All Ireland that year with the school, so that was huge. And I don't, like, that was the only year the school won that All-Ireland, so it was massive. And in 6th year then, we won the Kearney Vree. Now, sadly, we lost the All-Ireland semi-final, but the Kearney Vree was good enough, no, in fairness.
Does that help you as well when you're going to a school that's not, like, exactly in your parish? You know, there's a lot of parishes coming together. Does being friends the footballer help a lot?
Yeah, it would, I suppose. Yeah, it got me through a lot of things in life, I'd say, being a footballer. It gives you that advantage around there. Like, everyone kind of, well, not everyone, but most people know of you, and they, you know, they'd be saying hi to you in the streets and stuff, and it's great, like, going out, even walking around for a coffee there in Dingle, like, most fellas know you, and they, like, some young fellas even look up to you, like, which is crazy to me, and, like, the older people respect you, like, it's excellent, really, yeah, it's a great feeling.
And the fact that all your schooling was true Irish, you studied Irish then in UCC, yeah. Was that always something that was going to be important to you?
It was, yeah, like, I knew from a very young age that I wanted to be a teacher, and, I suppose since I had the advantage of the Irish, I might as well have continued with it. Now, I wanted to do PE in Irish, but I didn't get the points. So then I went the arts route and ended up doing geography, which is another subject I really enjoyed in school. I had a great teacher there. And I always knew that I was going to be a teacher, and the Irish being an advantage, I knew I could take that on. So went and did that in college and really enjoyed it, yeah.
It seems like you had, like, a real positive time growing up in primary school and secondary school. There was something that you'd spoken out about during the Black Lives Matter movement, yeah, where you took to your Instagram something that you probably hadn't expressed for a long time yeah. about racial abuse that you had experienced on the football field.
Yeah. And yeah, that was, I think it was under 16s or under 15s or something. I experienced that. And that was the kind of one main experience I had. And it was like, it was awful, in fairness. Like, you'd still be thinking about it every now and then. But like, that's not to say that the GAA is a real dangerous place for racial abuse. Like, it isn't. Like, ever since then, you know, I haven't experienced anything. So it was just that once off. But obviously, there's no space for that in the sport. And I think people are aware of that. It was just, I suppose, heat of the moment. But even then, it's a coward move. Like, so yeah, I spoke out about it, and I'm glad I did, because a lot of more other people spoke out about it, and I suppose it made a lot of people aware of it, especially the young people growing up, that it's like, it's not right. And yeah, I suppose I was glad I kind of helped out a few people there.
And at the time, obviously, you're only 16. You didn't mention it to the ref, the coaches, but one of the umpires on the field actually did.
Yeah,
is that something you look back on now?
It is, yeah, because like, he was injured from the other team, and he was just doing umpiring, and he messaged me after the game and everything, like, to make sure I was all right, and he went to the ref about it. So like, he was throwing his own teammate under the bus, like, so that shows how big it is, like, you know, because obviously in football there's that connectedness, like, you don't want to be throwing your teammates under the bus, but he did that because he understood how bad it was and how it affected me. And that made me feel a lot better, but it made me also think that, geez, this might be a lot bigger than what I think of it at the time, like. And But I'm delighted you did that.
Is that something that you'd be taking on board now as a teacher as well, to look out for something like that and make sure that the students, like you said, know that it would be a big deal? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's loads of anti-bullying workshops that are going on in the schools at the moment. Like, you'd be getting whole days off there being trained in on the new anti-bullying schemes, and like, just, it's this new thing called Be Canalta, so like, be nice. And it's a new movement, and it's a great movement. Like, it's like teaching students the rights and the wrongs of bullying and what is bullying, like, because a lot of them don't understand it. And it's excellent, like, and obviously racial abuse falls into that as well, as many other abuses and many other forms of bullying. So yeah, I suppose that is an extra role I have as a teacher, to I suppose keep students away from doing that.
Do you think, as a society now in Ireland in 2026, we're moving in the right direction, or is there still work that we've done from like a societal point of view and even a GAA point of view?
Yeah, no, 100%. I'd say the right direction. Yeah, because I suppose a lot of years there without social media and stuff, it would have gone unknown and would have gone quiet. But now everything's kind of out there, and you might be hearing a lot more of it at the moment. But that's obviously because of social media. Like, even last night there, I saw the Real Madrid game. Vinny Jr. He got racial abuse, and, you know, it's this huge thing on Twitter and Instagram now that you're seeing it, whereas back in the day you wouldn't have seen any of it. You might have seen the odd picture and maybe a news report, but now you're seeing a lot of it. And it's great to make people aware, because, like, you know, that other player is going to get punished now in some way, and obviously no other person wants to get punished. So everything's going in the right direction, I think, and we're on the right trajectory. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes social media, we see the positive effects of it as well.
100%,
from time to time.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin with Ungaeltacht for 2025. I would have thought that, like, the Ono Conqueror's point at the extra time against Salins was probably one of the most exciting times, but it happened in the quarterfinal of the Kerry Championship that you were on death's door.
Yeah, yeah. It was against Cneve Gwilla back in Galarus. That was the last game we played in Galarus now, because it's being done up, and we won't be able to play in it now until this summer. But what a way to play our last game there, I suppose. We were gone. There was five points in it, and we were in overtime. I even thought we were gone. Like, I'd say most fellas on the pitch thought we were finished. But yeah, in fairness, now to Kyle Begley, he's in with Kerry and stuff, and he scored two massive 2-pointers there to bring us in. And who also won that game for Salins for us, he kicked over a penalty at the end. He kicked it over the bar, which was a wise move, I suppose. And yeah, no, it was crazy. Even the night before the Salins game, we stayed in Cork, and the manager was, you know, he mentioned that Cneve Gwilla game. He mentioned it all year. But he was like, even the dressing room afterwards, the Salins game, he was like, I didn't think we'd ever have a game like that, like Cneve Gwilla again, but here we are. Like we can't lose. Like, that's what it felt like.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We were in some way that, like, we felt like we can't lose. I was even talking to Aidan Walsh's father, and he was at the Cneve Gwilla game, and he said, when I saw that game, when you finished that game, I was like, these boys aren't going to lose any game this year.
How good was it to have Aidan involved for you with the last couple
of years? Like, on and off the pitch. Off the pitch, he's one of the best. Like, you know, he's an unbelievable teammate. Like, he would have been very, come over and be very selfish. Like, it's his last couple of years playing, like, you know, just kind of train a bit. And he always wanted to do it for his son, like, for his son to see him play. Because his son will obviously be playing for the Gaelic when he grows up. And what a year his son has been able to see. He's won every cup he could. Like, you know, it's... Yeah, no, he's been absolutely outstanding. He'll do anything asked of him, like, and yeah, he's a great club man.
Was it a real special moment for you being asked to become the captain?
Huge, yeah. It was an issue, I suppose. It happened last year, kind of halfway through the year, because both captains got injured last year, PJ and Cian Murphy. They were the two captains last year. They both got injured. So then I kind of took over halfway through the championship, I want to say, and... Obviously that petered out because we had a poor year last year, but then yeah, I just continued into this year, and it was, yeah, it was massive honour, like, and especially being able to win stuff, like, and give a few speeches. It's amazing, really, like, and just the respect you have then from the public is class, in fairness.
Did you change the way you approach, say, you knew coming into the season of 2025 that you're going to be captain? Do you change, how do you approach it? Like, I know a lot of people say that it's just secondary, but there must be something there saying I need to be a little bit more vocal, or I need to do something else.
Yeah, maybe. I'd always be very calm with things, like, and I wouldn't have said that I changed too much now. I'm never one to speak up loads in dress rooms, or, you know, shout at anyone or anything, like, really. I just keep it calm the whole way through. So I wouldn't actually say I changed much. I was a bit nervous, all right, especially going into championship, you know, the league's fine and stuff, but then going into championship, I was a bit nervous being captain there, like, because you have to really lead by example, especially this year. We had a lot of young people coming in, so they're obviously looking up to you, like myself and the other kind of leadership group, like, and that was the only thing I would say that I kind of changed my ways there. I kind of made sure that I was having conversations with everyone, like, you know, that I wasn't just staying with my own group, because I know that they're obviously looking for my approval, almost, like, that kind of way. Yeah.
What's it like getting to play with your brother?
It's huge. Yeah, it's brilliant. I suppose we played the whole way up, because he's I suppose 2 years older than me. But I would have always played the age groups above me, so we were playing the whole way up. It was like second nature to us, really. Like when we were younger, we used to be the two cornerbacks together, like, and then I started to move out the field. He stayed in the full back line, but I'm kind of a bit more versatile, so I'd be midfield or wing back, full back, kind of. But yeah, when we were kind of two cornerbacks, full back, cornerback, whatever, it was really special, I suppose, because I could always trust him. I knew what way he's going to play. Like,
or blame him.
Or blame him, yeah, I suppose, yeah. But yeah, no, we really enjoy playing together, 100%, yeah.
And you have two younger sisters. Do they play as well?
Yeah. There's one doing the leaving cert now. She doesn't play. She used to play all right, but she kind of gave it up. She lost interest, which is fine. But the younger one then, she's doing very well. She's with the Kerry ladies, under-16s, this year. She was under-14s last year. And they won the Munster. They lost the All-Ireland final last year to Dublin, I think. It was Dublin, yeah, I'm pretty sure. So she's playing away at the under-16s this year, and she's loving it. She's an excellent player. She's also full-back. So.
You were able to teach her a couple of things about playing in the Kerry jersey, so.
That's true, yeah, yeah. Now, if she gets beyond minors, I suppose she's done better than me, so. But she's flying it at the moment, and I'm sure she will go beyond that.
Is that something... playing for Kerry as an adult that you still think could be possible for you, or?
I don't know. I suppose the older I get, and I'm injured at the moment as well, it's kind of drifting further and further away. So, look, if the opportunity came, I'd obviously take it, but I don't know. I'm getting on the wrong side of 25 now, so you're kind of getting closer to 30, and I don't know, to be honest.
But with some of your performances last year, I'm sure they'll be keeping a keen eye out.
Maybe. It's handy having Adam McCarleton there. I suppose he's always keeping an eye on the Gaelic players.
And what is it like, if it's even possible to describe, how do you mark David Clifford? How do you go out and approach that, especially in such a high-stakes game like a county final?
Yeah, I don't know. Is there any way of approaching it, really? Like, I knew the whole week leading up to it and that I would be marking him, which is probably a bad thing, to be honest, because you're overthinking it. Like, and I was like, I'm probably marking the best form of him as well. Do you know, it was obviously player of the year. The 2-point arc is there, strong breeze. I was like, this is his game. Like, so I don't know. I tried to keep a cool head, but just so nervous all week. But then when I got onto the pitch, it was fine. Because with all the tactics given, and I was like, look, there's plenty of backup around me. Like, Brian Begley was kind of, he played his own game in the first half, but when they had to win the second half, he came over and he helped me massively. So it was almost double marked in the second half. And we managed to close him down some bit. Like, he obviously still scored a good few points, but I suppose we won the game, so it didn't matter in the end.
Yeah, you're never going to keep him scoreless. Like,
never. I don't think anyone ever has, so I wasn't going to be the first person to do it anyway.
Did you have a kind of a bar in your head for what?
Yeah, well, the management told me, I forget what it was, like 1-8 or something like that. And I was like, jeez, you don't think anything of me. I was kind of like 5 or 6 points, you know, around that, which I think, I can't remember now what I got, 5 points I think he got. So I was delighted with that, yeah.
Was that a real special moment then, that victory?
Oh, that was the best, really, yeah, because that was the last day I wore a Gaelic jersey, you know, that day. And obviously I was captain and was able to give that speech, and gosh, I suppose that was the promotion, like, you know, back up to senior after so many years down intermediate. It was a really, really special day. It was just pure relief, like, at the end of it, the full-time whistle there. It was unbelievable, yeah.
And you injure yourself then, Mark and Paul Ganey for West Kerry,
yeah,
in the county quarterfinal. And then Uncle Eve to go on this once-in-a-lifetime run. And you hear of it all the time, people saying, like, you'll never get this opportunity again as a team to play in Croke Park. And obviously, you're happy for your club mates, yeah, and your team, but how tough was it to watch on knowing that you weren't going to make it back?
Really, really difficult, though, I must say. The toughest, well, the first tough game really was the one in Páirc Uí Chaoimh against Allens, just because of the, you know, the stadium and just the whole atmosphere there. Like, there was Gaelic then Dingle fans there, and it was just massive. You knew everyone in the stand, like. And I remember just rolling up in the bus and thinking, Jesus, I'm actually depressed here looking at this. But before that, it didn't really bother me. I was just delighted that we were winning and everything was going well. And obviously I was delighted when we won the game. But then Croke Park, obviously the same story again, but I was kind of ready for it this time, like. But I was fairly upset and sitting in the dressing room before the game, and like watching on the game, I had my Moyerishka thing on rather than the jersey, like, you know. So it was a big change, but obviously still delighted to be involved, and I was able to go up the Hogan's Den steps with PJ and lift the cup, like. So it was still a magical moment, but obviously I would prefer to be wearing a jersey and playing, like.
Was it almost helpful in that PJ had suffered his ACL injury, so he knew exactly kind of what you were going through in terms of not being able to play, but obviously the stakes are just so different.
Yeah, definitely. He was great to have as the, I suppose, the stepping captain, because he knew exactly what I was going through. Obviously, he missed a load of games for 12 months or whatever he was out for. And for the start of the Munster final, he was like, come on, we'll go up the steps together. Like, I didn't expect him to do that at all. I thought he'd go up on his own. And obviously then I knew I'd be going up for the Hogan's Den steps. So I was excited for that at least. And he was very encouraging. And even now, he's kind of helped me getting back onto the pitch myself. So yeah, he's great to have.
And how are you? How is your knee?
It's good, yeah. Everything's going well, so I'm hitting all the targets, and I'm hoping to be back now in two or three more months, and so before a championship anyway, hopefully.
Was the carrot of getting to play senior football kind of something that got you through?
Definitely, like, the winter? Yeah. Huge, yeah. Massive. Because there's an extra competition to play there. Like, you have the club championship and you have the county championship to play, which is huge. And obviously the main aim would be to stay up, but then whatever goes beyond that is just a bonus, like, just to be competitive, I suppose. And hopefully we'll have all the players back and everyone will be up for it again.
it was such a special weekend with yourselves and Dingle and Bally McElliott as well. We saw scenes in Croke Park that you wouldn't usually associate with All-Ireland final days, especially like the music and the culture. How special is it being part of a club that, you know, everyone around the country says, like, you know, that's something special. The video of Cormac Begley playing to war,
yeah,
in the dressing room after those victories, like, it is something different, isn't it?
It's way different, like, yeah. Like, if you compare it to any of, like, the city teams, they wouldn't have that kind of huge culture, and it's very, yes, massively different. Like all the people, like, even when we went gathered around the centre there of the pitch, like the cup, Michan Parker Boyle, that was magical. Like, Cormac Begley coming into the change room for a few games, he did that and played his Busca Kiole, like, and we all got it around. Like, it was the song that we listened to going to games and everything to war, like, which I suppose other clubs wouldn't have that either, like. But I suppose they're not as lucky to have Cormac Begley living next to them, like. It's massive. And even the celebrations on the Monday at home, we had Roisin Ó singing songs in Begley's pub back in Ballydavid. So, like, the culture is a massive thing for us. Like, even, you know, the Cads, Bree, Cree, Agustanga, like, it's what we stand for, like. So it's, yeah, the culture is centre to everything.
Is this, like, are you told about that from a very young age growing up is it brought in school and football as well? Like that this is, we're a little bit different out here west.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. Like with the language being a massive thing, but like even in the club, like we've never had a manager that doesn't speak Irish. You know, that's a massive thing that we have. We always try to keep a manager from a past player or something like that. I think once or twice maybe they weren't past players, but they made sure that they had Irish. You know, so that like that's it's such a huge thing in the club to be able to speak Irish and to fit in the culture there, like not to be an outsider at all. Like, you know, everyone has to kind of fit in and enjoy the culture.
And the CAD, I was only looking it up beforehand. Is do you ever try and kind of like replicate it? Give it a go for an old pre-season training session or something? The CAD, like the way it came from, like that old football game.
No, we wouldn't. No, I'd say we'd get a lot of injuries if we went after that. So as we were using rocks and stuff back in the day, yeah, no, we wouldn't go that far into it either.
And like being a Gaelgeoir, the Irish language does seem to be having a bit of a moment. Is it really encouraging to see?
Yeah, it's massive. Like social media and everything. Like I kind of know Siobhan O'Rourke there, and she has her podcast How to Gael, is it? Yeah, and. Like obviously a lot of people, young people are looking up to her. I think Lauren Whelan even does a few of her Instagram things in Irish and stuff. Like, and obviously young girls are looking up to that, and it's great for a teacher even, like, because obviously it's hard to teach Irish because there's no interest. That's what people think anyway, but there's a lot more interest coming, so it makes it a lot easier. Obviously I'm teaching the Gaelic classes, so they have to speak Irish. A lot of them find it a chore, but a lot of them enjoy it too, and they see it as that bonus that it is, like, and that advantage that they have going forward in life, especially if they're looking to stay in Ireland, like, yeah.
And you mentioned that you're teaching in Cork at the moment.
Yeah.
Would the end goal be to end up back in Kerry? Back
I suppose it is for every West Kerry person, to be honest, to end up back there because we love the place so much. But I'm happy out where I am at the moment. Like, I wouldn't like to be teaching there now, back there now, when I'm this age yet. I'd want to be a bit older. But yeah, no, I'd say the end goal, all right, is to be teaching the public school, yeah.
I heard Darrow Kinnaird mention in... I won't butcher it in the Irish, but he was saying it. The victory like this, it shortens the winter, yeah. because the winters out there can be fairly desolate. I'd
it
say
can be dreary, all right, yeah, dark and wet, and just no one around. Like it's a tourist area, like so, the winters are very bleak. You might get a week or two over Christmas where everyone's home, but besides that, yeah, it's a very lonely place.
Yeah, but there's still a draw and a grow to get back there.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, definitely, yeah. So the summer's alone to bring you back there, like, and being closer to the football, just obviously travelling up and down from Cork is a bit of a trek.
And looking forward as well now this year, Kerry, be hoping to pull out some major performances again. What do you think?
The back-to-back, yeah, hopefully. Obviously, Jack's never done it, so that'd be his... That's a massive thing for him, I'd say, to go back-to-back. But I can't see why they can't do it. Like, they have the same teams last year with a few extra bonuses. Obviously, there was, like, a few of the Dingle players were injured last year, Paul Gainey and Tom Sullivan. They'll be, like, new players now this year. And obviously, with their big win as well, that'll encourage them to drive on and try and win another Sam Maguire, yeah.
Brilliant. So, everybody else watch out. So is the word from Kerry.
Yeah.
Friends, thanks so much for chatting to us.
Thanks, William.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Settle In on Off the Ball, brought to you by Guinness 00, proud partner of Croke Park Stadium and proud partner of the GAA.